Welcome to Guys We Fucked. Guys We Fucked.
Guys We Fucked.
I'm Christina.
I'm Corinne.
We're sorry about last night.
Fucked. The anti-slut shaming podcast. I never stop.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Guys We Fucked.
It's the anti-slut shaming podcast. I'm Corinne.
I'm Christina. I got titties. Do you as well? Well, you're going to love Third Love. Bra shopping is a drag. But what if you could skip all the hassle and find a perfect fitting bra in minutes? Check out Third Love. Their fit finder quiz recommends the bra that's right for you, for your size and your shape. And now you can try one of their bras for free for 30 days. You just pay $2.99 for shipping. Go to thirdlove.com/GWF to find your perfect fitting bra and try it for 30 days for free. That is thirdlove.com/GWF.
Come see us live, Los Angeles, California, on Sunday, November 19th at 8:30 p.m. We're going to be in the main room at the Comedy Store for our standalone show, the Book Mitzvah, hey, where we'll be celebrating the release of our book that is available in stores and online now, called Fucked, Being Sexually Explorative and Self-Confident in a World That's Screwed. Thank you so much to everyone who has bought the book so far. Our numbers are outstanding. I mean,
yeah.
We didn't make the New York Times bestseller list yet, but technically.
Oh, wait, we still can?
We can, but I mean, whoa, we would have to sell like 8,000 copies in one week.
All right,
week.
What the fuck are you doing, guys? Get off your computers. No, I'm just kidding.
But it's like, you know, the people who are beating us are people like Hillary Clinton. So not really.
It's an honor. I didn't know there were only 5 books on that fucking list for each category.
It's almost
I can't
impossible.
Even believe we were considered. That's huge.
Well, we broke our goal by over 1,000 books of what we were looking to sell. So thank you guys. You guys have been awesome with posting pictures of it and telling friends about it. And like, keep doing that, because I mean, the main thing is, like, it's cool to get on lists, but I think it's more important that we wrote a book that we're really proud of sharing.
Agreed.
So thank you for that. And thank you so much to Blue Apron.
Oh, you hungry?
Blue Apron is the number one fresh ingredient and recipe delivery service in the country. Blue Apron's mission is to make incredible home cooking accessible to everyone. Blue Apron achieves this by supporting a more sustainable food system, setting the highest standards for ingredients, and building a community of home chefs. Featured upcoming meals include crispy wild Alaskan pollock and garlic mashed potatoes with roasted broccoli and tartar sauce, cheesy broccoli baked pasta with crispy thyme breadcrumbs, seared steaks and garlic butter with oven fries and romaine salad, and roasted chicken and fall vegetables with cranberry and ginger compote. I love a good compote.
Damn, compote's such a good word.
I love Blue Apron. I'm really big into cooking. I'm really big into watching cooking shows because of my intense love of food. And I can honestly say Blue Apron, not only the meals were delicious, but it also made me a better cook, a more creative cook. I know kind of just like off the top of my head, things that go better together. And I can now whip up things from my own imagination in a much higher level way than I was able to before. Check out this week's menu and get $30 off your first order with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/GWF. You will love how good it feels and tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron, so don't wait. That's blueapron.com/GWF. Blue Apron, a better way to cook.
And then after you've eaten all your Blue Apron meals in one sitting, because maybe you accidentally got high and you were really hungry, you fall asleep on your Casper mattress. Casper is a sleep brand that continues to revolutionize its line of products to create an exceptionally comfortable sleep experience one night at a time. With three mattress models, the original Casper, the Wave, and the Essential, Casper mattresses are perfectly designed to soothe and cradle your natural geometry. That was a very poetic way of saying it's a very fucking comfy bed. Not to mention, the breathable design helps you sleep cool and regulates your body temperature throughout the night. And it's delivered right to your door in a small, how do they do that, size box with free shipping and returns in the U.S. and Canada. But the best part is that you can be sure of your purchase with Casper's 100-night risk-free sleep on it trial. After all, you spend 1/3 of your life sleeping. Damn, that's a lot of life. So you should be comfortable. It's true. Corinne and I both sleep on Casper mattresses. Steven and I love the Casper mattress. We had a very shitty mattress before that. It was a futon mattress, and Steven really didn't want to switch. And then when we did, he was like, yeah, this is a lot better. And it got delivered in a box that I was like, there is no fucking way there's a mattress in that fucking box. And then there's a mattress in the fucking box, you guys. It's magical. It's like those little pills you took. No, you didn't take them. You bought them when you were a kid, or your uncle gifted them to you when you did something good, and you put it in a warm cup of water, and all of a sudden it's not a pill, it's a fucking Tyrannosaurus Rex, and you're like, what the fuck? Mm-hmm. That's the Casper mattress experience of unboxing. It's amazing. I fucking love this mattress. Start sleeping ahead of the curve with Casper. Get $50 off towards any mattress purchase by visiting Casper with a C .com/GWF using GWF at checkout. That is Casper.com. Offer code GWF for $50 off your mattress purchase. Terms and conditions apply.
Woo! Get that money, girl.
Get that money, honey.
Oh boy. Did you have anything personal you wanted to talk about?
I watched, I was hashtag blessed to watch Alfred this
week. Oh yes.
Little and Alfred. I love him so much. It did make me realize I don't want a dog because I don't want to think of anyone or anything before myself.
I was going to say,
really don't.
I was like, it's, I think it's
my best friend warned me
to do. I mean, I'm super happy I got the dog. It was the right decision for me. But also, I mean, I've had dogs my whole life.
Right.
So I think it's different. And also I'm a little bit older than you. And
I think
right now it's just kind of like different. I don't live with a boyfriend. It's really helped. It helped with my depression a lot.
The one thing that I did notice was I started having an anxiety attack while he was here, and he like jumped on my lap and it calmed me down. And I do understand. I used to call bullshit on the whole, oh, it's a service dog because it helps with your anxiety. Oh, that's adorable. No, for real though.
No, 100%. Dogs really do help with anxiety. I'm so much less depressed now that I have Alfred. And it's also like, because it takes away, like, you know, it's like sometimes you'd be like, oh, why do I even need to wake up in the morning? It's like, well, you have to, just for these very small things. Like, you have to feed your dog. You have to walk
your dog. I was very, like, you warned me that Alfred was going to wake me up earlier than I wanted to be woken up. And I knew that.
Yeah.
And then, but I was really happy to get up and take him outside.
Yeah, no,
because it got me outside.
He's the best. He's very sweet.
Try to have sex just to see, because we were like, do we want this dog life or nah? So we tried. We're like, he's going to just sleep at the floor at the foot of the bed.
Yeah.
And then nope, that didn't happen. He slept with us. And then he just kept climbing on Steven, and we kept gently putting him down on the floor. And then he would sit there and stare at us before eventually coming and climbing back on Steven. And I put him in the bathroom upstairs.
Yeah.
And I like put a blanket out. I like really made it nice for him. And he was so upset, and I just couldn't.
Yeah.
I couldn't hear him cry. I couldn't fuck and hear a dog cry.
It definitely is like dog life. When I say like, you know, James and I, our whole life, and we're not married and we don't live together, is like 100% like revolves around Alfred.
Yeah, not for
thinking
me.
About Alfred first. I mean, it's really bond us. Like we've really learned how to co-parent. Great.
Yeah, I'm sure it's a great experience to have. But yeah, no.
I do really want to real quick. I know we're kind of rushing mostly for me. But I want to read this one email. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Just because I don't care.
I don't
want to like not give people content just because I'm having a nervous breakdown. That's not on you.
And that's I wish everybody would live by that rule.
You guys, stop
being selfish.
You guys have been here the whole time. This is just, an email really resonated with me this week. And the subject line is, I have amazing tits along with a horrible picking habit. Well, go past the part where we're great. I'm emailing you guys because of a really bad habit that I have that can directly affect my sex life in a negative way. So you know those tiny little blackheads or pimples around your nipples? Well,
yes.
Yeah, I pick incessantly at them. Oh. I used to do it sporadically, but now I do it every day, sometimes more than once a day. This results in red dots and little scabs from picking all around my nipples. And before writing this email, when I looked in the mirror with my tits out, I realized I used to look at them, give them a love squeeze and be like, yes, amazing. My boobs are great. Everyone loves them. Guys love them. My friends love them.
Mailman loves them.
I won a wet t-shirt contest this summer at a festival. Ha ha. And that totally gave me an extra boost in my titty confidence.
Okay.
When I started college, they got 2 cup sizes bigger due to the freshman 15.
Mm.
Most of that 15 was actually 30 and a half of it went to my boobs.
Whoa.
I got really insecure about the weight I gained, especially in my boobs. So I feel you, Christina. Mm. But I got a lot of dudes because they love my big old titties and my personality, I guess. But since I started sleeping around more, I started to feel like a slut. But then I grew more confident and comfortable with my body and my boobies, and then learned how to defend slut shaming.
Aww.
Finally, I heard your podcast. Now I feel like I'm on top and I'm in a really good place in life. But when I'm stressed, aka every day, I'm a 22-year-old university student. I pick at my nipples. I pick at my face. I fucking pick so much. It's really bad. My mom always said, stop picking. She would smack my hand and say it makes it worse. She's right. And I know it, but it's honestly just one of those habits I can't break. I pick and it relieves stress. You know those people that watch pimple popping videos? I can't do that. It's too gross for me. Right? So I have to do it in real life. I've heard it's really bad to pick at the ones around your nipples. So I was wondering if you guys...
So that's the ones I went for first.
also have those mini impurities around your nipples. And if it's bad to pick at those, what are the consequences? Yeah. How do I stop? I want to stop because I don't want guys to look at my tits in a shirt before the bedroom, get excited to rip my shirt off, but then are disgusted by what looks like scabby chicken pox around my nipples, ruining the image of my great tits. I know most people don't care enough to notice in the heat of the moment, but no one wants to suck a scabby titty, you know?
Maybe they do.
So please help. Any advice, I appreciate. And so do the twins. I love you guys. Never stop the podcast.
She's so okay. Her boobies.
Big boobs. Ooh, beautiful girl.
Hey, baby. Not that that matters.
It does not matter.
You're beautiful on the inside as well.
Oh, sorry, Jones wants to
well,
see the
when
picture.
You introduced me to the tool that you can get at CVS, you can like push blackheads out.
Right, yeah.
I started getting obsessed with that. Yeah. And I was like, boop, got to distract myself. And now I scratch lotto tickets.
Yeah, no, the Lancet is, amazing. But I love this. Number one, the reason you should want to stop picking at your titties is not because of guys are going to judge you. Because it's...
That should be on a fucking bumper sticker, Corinne.
It's because you're harming yourself physically. No, I love this because I'm guessing it has to do with my OCD, but like I will get obsessed with picking. And I know a lot of other people who do get picking, especially like with zits on your face. Like I would almost be heartbroken if I never had zits because then I wouldn't have something to pick at. And that's like,
whoa,
it's like a stress relief. Like the other day I was in a hotel room and I was like picking at my face and James came in and I was like, James, can you just let me pick at my face?
Oh yeah. You got to pick at your face in private.
Just let me do this. Yeah. Like, I know it's gross and it's disgusting, but like, it's very
cathartic.
It's very cathartic. And
it's you time.
The nipple and the chest area is actually the worst to do it. It does, for some reason, it scars more easily.
I have picked at that before, only because I'm like, what the fuck's this?
That's one, like, whenever I had chest acne, that's one area I will not pick at because it makes it so much worse. And to answer your question, yes, I think most girls I know have zits or like nipple
hair. Every girl, every human, I'm
pretty
sure.
So don't feel bad about that. It's weird.
Is there one day you wake up and there's a long ass hair in your boob and you're like, what the fuck?
Yeah, pluck that. Don't shave that.
It doesn't take time to grow in. It's not like a budding rose.
It's magic. But it
literally one day it's not there. And then one day you got a beard on your tit and you're like, what the fuck is this? Joke's on me all the time, apparently.
Yeah. I mean, anyway. So it sounds like you're getting a little obsessive with it. So I would definitely look into... like OCD and like the tactics to do it, because it says, I looked it up just really quickly and it says picking and doing self-surgery is bad. It can leave marks and scars and can even be on the OCD spectrum, which is an anxiety disorder, which I totally agree with. Absolutely. You can cause an infection and you can actually make the pimples worse. That's all true.
Because, yes, I mean, of course, because there's bacteria under your fingernails.
Your hands aren't clean. You're pushing bacteria further into your skin. I mean, when you're using a lancet, like I'm doing it in a way that I learned at the spa. So I'm actually improving my skin when I'm doing it with.
Wait, you got to teach me that later.
A lancet. But that's because I know how to do it.
One time I did it to my nose so bad, like the blackheads, that I woke up and it felt like I had a rock under my nose. Like I fucked up. I did it too hard.
Sure.
And I was like, yeah, I gotta stop, Christina.
You feel out of control. In high school, I certainly picked at my face in a way that was not spa level picking that I did not know. And I remember like my mother even came out, like it was before school. I used to do it. And she like came out and like taught. She's like, you have to stop picking at your face because it's like you're destroying your skin.
Yeah. My mom used to tell me that all the time.
Yeah. I mean, there's no real like tip or trick, but one, my, it signaled me because I'm like, it's definitely on the OCD spectrum and you're using it to ease your anxiety. Yeah. So you have to use something to replace that. And if you can't stop, you actually probably should see someone about that because you got it.
Therapy. Can you do therapy for OCD?
Yeah, cognitive behavioral therapy. It's a specific and kind of usually expensive form of therapy. But just like for me, like just read some books about OCD and I think you'll understand it better. And anytime for me when I understand something better, that helps me to stop the behavior if I logically know where the behavior is coming from. Because I was thinking, I was like, oh, is there anything you can do that will like, you know, or
take its place?
Or
picking?
Even like if you're home alone, I don't know, do something like put like black eyeshadow around your nipple or something so that anytime you pick it, you're going to get your hands dirty. Like little tricks like that.
And it's a reminder to not do it?
Yeah, it's kind of like, yeah, just a reminder like, why I have
put some hot wax on your nipples.
Okay. And then you'll have to like go and like you won't be able to do anything else because you'll have gotten black on your hands. You'll have to go then take a moment, wash your hands. It's like just it's stepping outside of the kind of anxiety riddled behavior. I think
you just cured her, Corinne.
Is what I would recommend.
Write us back and let us know.
That's like a self-help kind of thing. It's the same thing as like tying a red ribbon around your finger or slapping yourself with a rubber band, which are actually all things.
Yeah,
rubber
on the
band
wrist.
Is absolutely.
Because then you associate that activity then with a little like pinch.
With a little, yeah.
And that's enough to take you out of it a lot
of
times.
You kind of need to get yourself out of the behavior. That's even the same as like when you're training a dog, you give it a little tap just to kind of get it out of whatever moment it's having. Mm. Get it out of the behavior. That's it. If anyone has any tips or tricks, just email us at sorryaboutlastnightshow@gmail.com. And now today's guest, guys.
Oh, so much fun.
This is someone who we've been wanting to have on the podcast for a really long time. So has such an interesting life, equal parts funny and sad. She's a writer, editor on Elite Daily. She has contributed to some e-cards, and she's just a really wonderful comedian, one of my favorites in the city. Please give a warm welcome to Rosebud Baker.
Guys, I'm good.
We all know that's not your real name. Let's start with that.
What?
Wait, what?
Wow, getting grilled. Getting grilled.
Whoa.
Right off the top. Coming in hot. Corinne just got off fucking public transportation. She's got a bonnet.
It was a cab, Rosebud.
I wish.
Come on.
Yeah, it was an SUV. Black SUV.
Whoa. So. Fancy pants.
Wait. Is that your real name?
No.
Whoa, what's your name?
I don't even know the story behind it.
My real name is Rosemary, actually. Oh. But I've never been called Rosemary in my entire life. Like, my parents called me Rosebud.
Okay. Well, that's for the... I think Rosebud is a better...
It is a better name. I was just curious how you get to that, because it's very hippie-ish.
Yeah, I don't know. There's a lot of different stories in my family about how I got it. Everybody takes credit for the nickname. Oh. My aunt takes credit for it. My dad does. Apparently, the story, if we're going with what my dad says.
Sure. Let's go with the man.
I was born and I was like constantly very red in the face. And he was like, oh, she's like a little rosebud. And that's like how I got it.
Aw.
So you had something wrong with you? And then they're like, let's get your nickname for life.
I was born strangled
by the umbilical cord. And they thought
and
it was adorable.
It was like an invisible umbilical cord on your neck at all times when you were a child.
Exactly.
It's very sweet.
Exactly.
We were having a conversation about fashion that was very interesting. I've been trying to figure out how the fuck to dress.
Right.
But you were talking about big boobs. How big are you? What's your cup size?
I'm a 34D.
Okay, yes, same. And it's you can't wear certain shit. It looks stupid.
Yeah, no. And
I do a great job of
covering them up.
It's fine. I think my act speaks for itself. Yeah. I do have a
You have befriended friends with big old titties.
I do have a 10-minute bit about that's my punching up towards people with large breasts joke.
Right,
so
right. Yeah.
I'm fine.
Yeah.
But yeah, you just can't wear certain shit. You can't wear marathons. That's for goddamn sure.
Well, no. And fuck the New York City Marathon, by the way, while we're at it. I just want to throw that out there.
It's not even for a cause. Right?
I do hope that they all escape what they're running from, as I said before. Yeah.
I don't know what the cause, but it's also like, it's like, let's, why is this not happening in some small city in the Midwest where they have, where this is not going to shut down the whole fucking city?
Or, you know, along the river.
I'm fine with the running.
Along the river. Run along the river.
Yeah, run.
Where the pedestrians run.
Exactly.
Tell the pedestrians to take a fucking day off, and then you tell the marathon people to run there.
Yeah, although after this week, it's probably better not to run along that route.
That's true. There's always going to be some fucking terrorists.
Oh, God.
Running you over with a truck.
By the way, can we just talk about, nobody even talked about that. Like, I don't
know. Not many people did.
That happened.
I did have food poisoning that day. My dad, that's how I learned about it, because my dad texted me and goes, you okay?
Yeah. I also didn't know until my brother texted me, are you alive? And I go, oh no, what terrorist attack happened this
time?
And
I was like, oh shit. Yeah. And then, yeah, Google.
I don't know. I think, there's multiple reasons why people may not want it. Number one, Uber might have paid them off to not talk about it because the guy who did it was an Uber driver.
Oh, wow.
What?
Wow. And that's why you should use Lyft, lady. No, I'm just kidding.
Which, that's, you know.
Well, you know, you got to have a way to fund the running the truck for your terrorist plot.
Right.
So how are you going to get it? I mean, you would think they get money overseas from some evil motherfucker in a bank account or something, but I don't know how that works. I don't know.
But this guy claimed allegiance to ISIS, but I don't know. I think he's just like trying to get into the group by himself. I don't necessarily
think. He was the loser of ISIS.
He just, right. Because I mean, they've, you know, I don't want to, but they've done better work.
They have. I know. I think about this all the time. Don't know if it's wise to say on a podcast, but whatever. Sometimes it's,
ISIS, you could have done better.
Yeah. Well, he was probably the loser, but he's like, if I kill myself and say ISIS, they have to accept me.
But also, right.
He
majorly fucked up. He didn't kill himself.
I know.
Like, that's terrorism 101. You need to make sure that you
have a gun in the goddamn car.
He didn't even have a real gun. He had like a fake gun. It was like a potato gun.
Oh, of course it was.
And now they're trying to send him to like
Gitmo. He was hitting himself with the potato in the truck until when the cops got there.
Yeah.
Gitmo.
Ugh. Yeah, because they're, and then they're like, should we torture him? Should we not?
Yeah, maybe just get
give him a reality TV show.
Yeah.
Is that not the American way?
I think it is, as I recall. It is the American way.
ISIS has talent. ISIS got talent. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And just do
that's
like
good.
God, that is really ISIS. That's probably ISIS the darkest got talent I've had this week.
That's really funny.
Oh my God.
I would watch that.
ISIS got talent.
Because it's not grammatically, it doesn't sound grammatically correct.
No, it literally
sounds. In addition to ISIS got talent in general.
ISIS got talent.
They don't got talent though.
No, they're not. Well
he does, you know, and some do. But I feel like I would like, do
some
it.
Of them, yeah,
well, I would do it more like the Voice style, so that you have three people who are experts in terrorism with their backs turned, and then people come on the stage and say, "This is my terrorist plot." And then, like, if you
and
like
then if you
it,
turn
you
around. Yeah.
You know what? You might as well just have Trump on there. I mean,
yeah, he would host it.
Yeah, I really feel like he would.
He wants to be doing anything else than sitting in that old house.
Anyway,
sex stuff.
Sex stuff, right. God. Right.
This is the world.
No, but I was reading Man Repeller, which is a blog about fashion. And if you don't know how to dress, it's fantastic. It kind of teaches you how to dress. So that's what I've been reading.
Why is it called Man Repeller though? Did they explain that?
Yeah, because it started off as like, you know how like everything that it becomes a fashion trend, men are like, ew, why would you even
gross.
Wear that?
You look like you're wearing a smock.
Yeah, so the idea is that everything that we
you
like fashion-wise, men hate. And it's like dressing.
And that makes me happy.
Yeah, it's like dressing for you and kind of dressing to have fun.
Yeah.
And
you're dressing as an expression of yourself.
Right.
Yeah. Cause anytime a guy I'm out with, or just like a friend I'm out with is attracted to a woman, I must say she is dressed like a 1980s Walmart catalog.
Exactly.
I think men
tight,
are just looking at it like, yo, what's the least amount of clothing you can be wearing?
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay.
I mean, you can be dressed in a rag with fucking fishnet tights.
And they'll be like,
that's the hottest outfit I've ever seen.
Yeah. Wow. You are so fashion forward.
Yeah.
When really you're just showing up to work at the strip club. You
right.
know?
And it's Man Repeller because it tells you how to layer. And I'm like the most comfortable when I'm wearing the most amount of clothes.
Same.
Possible. Yeah.
Why is that for you?
I just think I like, it's a comfort thing. Like I like to be wearing a lot of clothes. I just like, it feels comfortable. I feel like I'm in a sleeping bag. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
I want to be, I kind of want to be covered up. I don't, I never feel super comfortable in. Okay, so like my Halloween costume was Courtney Love in the 90s. So like,
nice.
You know, I wore like these tights that were ripped up and like a slip.
Yeah.
And I wore three pairs of underwear because I was so uncomfortable walking out of the house.
Someone tried to get to your vagina?
I was going
to
say, I was like, just in case anybody sees anything, I just want to be wearing as much coverage as possible.
I mean, okay.
I was wearing a thong and then I was wearing, and then I wore tights.
Why a thong?
I know. I love that. Why that was step one.
I was, well, a thong is
step one.
Well,
you got to cover the tiniest bits first.
Yeah. Cover that up.
Okay.
Each thing has a different coverage thing.
And also if your genitals are cold, the rest of you is going to be freezing.
My pussy is never cold though.
No, it's not. You know what? It was really just for me. I was really
Mine was cold. Yeah.
What? I have never.
If you're doing outdoor sports, your pussy will get cold.
Whoa.
Sure.
Really? I guess I've never done a winter sport.
Yeah.
My ass is always freezing.
Butt cheeks get cold.
My vagina
sure.
is warm as hell.
Same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. But I never skied.
It's humid
though.
Down there.
Yeah, it's because you got three pairs of fucking underwear on.
Well, yeah, for sure. That didn't
You're
help.
Keeping it all in, all the moisture.
I mean, I was literally, I think it was just like walking out of the house in that, like, that little amount of clothing, I was just like, you know what? I'm just going to make sure nobody sees even a little bit of anything.
Yeah.
If I'm walking up some subway stairs, I don't want anybody catching a glimpse.
When you were younger, was there like a time, not even a specific incident, but do you remember feeling grossed out by like men's attention towards you?
I've always felt grossed out by men's attention. Yeah.
Same. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because I don't
never
feel like a woman. You know what I mean? I mean, of course I'm like a woman, but I don't like feel like, you know, when you're like walking around in the world, you're not like.
You just
like,
want to be a person sometimes. Women don't really have that luxury.
Well, I just do feel like a person.
Right, right.
You know what I mean? I just am a person. So.
And then that attention is like, hey, you're also a woman, Rosebud.
Right. Like
it's Larry David annoying you.
Even when I went out on Halloween, somebody came up to me and was like, Rosebud? Like they didn't recognize me because I was wearing like makeup and wearing like a dress. And like, I looked like a skank. You know what I mean? I looked.
Yeah.
Like I looked like.
Well, that's why you don't dress that way. You know what I mean? That's what you think yourself when
yeah,
you do.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, oh, I can't.
I love dressing like a skank though sometimes.
Sometimes I do, but it's like, if I would feel safer if there were no men. I would love
right?
to, I'd dress like the biggest whore if there were no
Dude,
men.
This is so interesting Same. To me because I certainly do not like catcalling or, you know, the male gaze on me, but I don't feel uncomfortable ever with
yeah.
it. And I mean, I've been got like other people around me have felt more uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I mean, Christina included, but also like even growing up in high school, like I used to always like to wear like short shorts and like my family would get annoyed. They'd be like, can you dress a little bit like calmer so people yeah. don't yell at you? And even then when I was like 16, 17, I was like, this is their problem, not mine.
You know what?
Like if you're yelling at a 16-year-old girl, that's fucking disgusting. Get your life together.
I wish everyone thought that.
Actually, when you asked if, is there ever like a time during my life that I didn't like male attention, it was high school. It was totally high school. Cause I remember I got into high school. I got on the cheerleading squad, right?
Uh-huh.
And
fuck yeah,
I came in and they immediately, it was like, they picked me as like this freshman chick that they were going to fuck.
Our new,
oh, and then all
they,
the,
who's they?
Like the men, like the senior dudes and the, oh. You know what I mean? And
oh, you were their conquest. Oh God, like, that's uncomfortable.
Wow, this is like a 90s movie.
Right, right. But then the girls, I remember my fucking house getting egged by these like senior chicks. And like for no reason,
because the guys wanted to fuck you.
I don't know. I mean, it's gonna sound
too hot.
It's gonna sound like I. But yeah, that is. I think that's why it was. You know, I was like, there's no other reason.
Sometimes girls are mean to other girls, especially at that young of an age where you're not mature yet,
right?
Because they're jealous,
right?
And you don't know how to handle that, so you just you're like, I'm gonna egg this bitch's house.
Yeah, yeah. So then I ended up getting actually kicked off the cheerleading squad and just smoked pot
for
like years.
For being too hot.
You got kicked off cheerleading.
No, I got kicked off the cheerleading squad because I don't know. I either dropped out or I got kicked off. I know I was benched because I made a very, it was a distasteful Jew joke. Okay.
Perfect.
Love where this is going. You have to tell us what it is.
I did have to take a seat for that. It was some
take
fucking.
Take a seat.
It was really anti-Semitic. I can't even repeat it. You know what I mean?
Are you Jewish?
No.
Oh.
Are you kidding me? Look at me. I'm like Hitler's dream.
I can't. Yeah, you are. I can never tell when people are Jewish though. I really can't. I mean, Goldstein now is
she couldn't
a
even tell that she was Jewish.
I know. So, I'm Jewish. I didn't know that.
For a long time.
Corinne knew all along.
Yeah, oh my I was God. Like, this is no surprise.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Wait, didn't you used to be chubby?
I was in elementary school.
Oh, okay. So when you were really little.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because I know you talk about that a lot, where it must have had some kind of effect on you that you mentioned it as an adult. Like, that's how I knew about it, talking about it.
For sure. Yeah, no. Growing up as a fat kid, you're like...
How fat?
How fat were you? I have a picture. I don't know.
Okay, guys, show us the picture.
I was large enough. You know what I mean? Like, where I would go over to friends' houses and my parents would be like, remind her to slow down when she's eating.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, but also is that because you ate too fast? I ate too fast.
I mean,
I ate too fast and I would give myself stomach aches all the time.
I ate like I was trying to escape. Do you know what I'm saying?
Right.
My
right.
body or yeah, something.
You, like, you want to like eat your way out of the house or
for
something.
For sure. Yeah. And like, and I think also my mom was pregnant for like the first 10 years of my life. I think I was just like storing up.
How many siblings do you have?
I have four younger sisters, one of whom passed away.
Okay.
But like, I was definitely a fat child. You know, where like guys that I had crushes on would make fun of me. And then I'd like, get in trouble for like pouring
milk on them. So kids noticed
them. Yeah. Yeah. Kids noticed it. My parents noticed it. My friends, you know, my sister would come. I'll never forget this. My sister got on. I remember picking her up from school and she was like, my classmate said today that you were fat, but I told them you were big boned. And I was like, oh, thanks. You're a fucking hero. I was like, thanks for telling me, you cunt.
Yeah. That's something you keep to yourself.
Yeah. But she was sweet. She was trying to be nice.
Yeah. Yeah. She meant well.
But I was like, thanks a lot. Can I smell your Dorito bag? I mean, I was really just sad. Oh, here's a picture. Here I am. This is me holding my sister. I shared that on Instagram last week.
Oh, but everyone's kind of fat at that age.
Right. Everybody says that, but like...
I mean, maybe...
Is that third grade?
A lot of kids this age have like little twig arms.
Right.
And you didn't have twig arms.
Yeah. Everybody
But that's
like,
enough for little kids to be like, she's fat.
Right. Exactly. And I remember being like, I'm not going to be fat when I'm older. Like, I remember not being worried about it very much. And... But also being like, I thought I was gorgeous.
Right.
You know? And then
then you're aware of other people's criticism.
It was only when other people stepped in that I was like, oh, I guess I'm not. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I thought I was like a hot shit.
That's a very pivotal moment in a person's life, a young person's life specifically, because you can either go with I'm right or they're right.
Yeah.
And most people go with they're right.
Yeah.
Because multiple people are saying it and it's just one me.
Right.
You're kind of oddly like logical at that age. You're like, I guess they're right then.
Yeah.
And then the insecurity brews from there.
Yeah. But I do still feel like a fat kid a little bit like inside. Like I have I still have a fat kid's laugh. You know what I mean? Like when
that's
I laugh.
That's why I like you. You have a fat kid personality.
I do.
Still. You don't have a hot person personality. Hot people personalities tend to be annoying.
Dull.
So that's why I like people who are currently hot, but used to not be hot. Those are my favorite people.
Yeah.
I talk about this all the time.
Yeah. Because if you're forced to develop your personality.
You got to work for it.
Yeah.
You got to dance. You got to tap dance for
people.
Oh,
I fucking learned to tap dance.
Yeah.
Fucking circles.
That's great.
Yeah.
How'd you learn about sex?
Oh God, how did I learn about it? I mean, I definitely had the talk. My parents had the talk with me.
I haven't talked to a person in a while who's got the talk from
Are your parents religious or were they? Or
no, not really.
Mm-mm.
I mean, what was the talk?
The talk was like sitting down with a book with my mom and being like, this is a dick and this is a vagina. And I remember being so uncomfortable.
Did she say dick?
No. I think she said penis the whole time. I would have preferred she said dick.
This is the evil one-eyed snake.
I remember
that you're
being like, please
soon.
Stop saying penis. You know what I mean? Like, please just call it something else.
Penis is a weird word anyway.
And
how old were you?
I was maybe like 12. I was like,
oh,
I'm way past this. I like know about all of
you
this.
Already knew.
I'd been masturbating since I was like 8.
Same.
What, you know what I mean?
How did you discover masturbation?
Oh, just doing horrible things to the furniture.
Same.
You know?
Yeah.
Just, I mean.
Did you ever accidentally do it in front of somebody and you didn't know?
Oh, for sure. My parents would like walk in and I'd just be
Were you scared?
On.
Did you know that was something to be doing in private or no? I don't know how I knew that it was something to be done in private.
I knew
just
instinctually.
Knew. Yeah, yeah.
I was like, oh, this is wrong. You know
yeah,
what
your
I mean?
Spidey senses kick in.
I mean, I think I was just like, I mean, it was shameful too because I was like fully making love to an inanimate object.
Were you making out with it?
No, I never did any of that. It wasn't romantic. It was just getting my rocks off.
Yeah. Just humping it.
Well, I think, you know, like, especially girls know that, like, no one should be asking to see or touch your vagina from a young age. Therefore, I don't think you would do anything that exposes or, like, uses your vagina in publicly without, in public without shame.
Right.
If that makes sense.
Exactly. Yeah.
Because people, I mean, like, people don't tell like guys to protect their dicks the way we're taught to protect our vaginas. If anything, it's just like, put your goddamn
put
dick,
your dick away.
Your dick's always out. Put your dick away.
Please get your dick away, off the dinner table.
I mean, having a brother,
trying.
Yeah, having a brother was always just like, people were like, all right, Chris, put your dick away.
Yeah.
Wow. My brother never had a dick out.
Just put it away.
I mean,
there's
but
a big age difference.
But
though,
I will say growing up with all women, like we were never clothed. Like we never had our clothes on.
That sounds awesome.
You know, we were just, I mean,
nudist
pussy
colony.
Out, pussy out.
Out.
I remember coming home drunk one night and my mom being in front of the fridge, tits out, no bra, just. And this is after the divorce. So it was all women in the house.
Oh.
And it was like, I came home and she was like, oh my boobs. And just like ran it. And she's like laughing hysterically. And like, she like farted on her way to the bathroom.
Oh,
I was like, this is amazing. Like it was really like Animal House, but with all
with chicks.
All chicks. Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause I was wondering about that. Cause I mean like for me, we were okay with being nude, but then at a certain point, I think like around like 11, 12,
put on the clothes.
My mom's like, put your pants on, your brother and your dad are here. And so I'm like, oh, if it was just me and you, this would be fine.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it's like, I hope my dad and my brother don't feel sexually towards me, mother.
No. No, it's like literally.
Man, if I said that once, I've said it a dozen times.
It's true though. I think that men are the thing that make women act like women. You know what I mean?
Because that is a very good point.
Because I wouldn't, honestly, like growing up with all women, my sisters and I are all just like, monsters.
Could you imagine the inhibition women would have throughout their all, like their life if men didn't make women feel that way? Like women, you're right.
Yeah.
Because we're always being reminded we're fucking women.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things that annoys me about catcalling. Just stop it.
Yeah. It's just, it's
wow,
like,
I never thought about that.
It's they're the thing that makes us be like
women.
Yeah. In the, you know, patriarchal sense
when we
of the word.
Yeah, when we don't want to be a lot of times. Wow, that's interesting.
Right.
Did you ever, was there ever a point where multiple sisters in the house, living in the same household, had their periods sync up? I don't know if you were at the age,
you know,
worked out that way.
I don't even think we even brought it up. Like, I don't think we even talked about it that much.
And you couldn't tell, like, man, the trash can sure fills up quickly.
I never really, like, kept track of that. I never even fucking noticed my period, honestly.
What?
I, like, remember getting it because my mom fucking showed up at school with her friend Vicky. And they were, oh, my God.
Her friend,
I know.
Vicky?
It was crazy. And, like, but I know, no. She's, like, she's not
my
gay.
My roommate, Vicky.
She's not gay, but you would.
Good to know your mom's not gay.
Yeah, yeah. But, like.
Sounds like
she
her
was
roommate.
Like, she literally, it was my friend Sarah's mom. And Vicky and Nanny came to pick us up from school and I was bleeding through my pants and my mom, no, Vicky put on a black wig, like an afro. And she was like, look, I'm a penis. And I was, and I didn't even understand how that was related.
She would have lost her Twitter account.
They had,
yeah,
she would have
gotten
suspended. They had a fucking gift. They had a gift bag full of tampons and pads. And they were like, welcome to womanhood. It only goes downhill from here.
Sounds like a sad bag.
And they thought it was so funny. It's sad bag. Exactly.
Oh, yeah. Because no girl's so like, yay.
That's embarrassing.
That's so embarrassing.
I mean, it was.
I'm sorry that happened to you.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
You know what? You guys are just making me realize that it was embarrassing. But yeah, you're
right. Shit. It was fine.
No,
it's
no,
hilarious.
No. I'm just like, no, that was an embarrassing moment. I should have been embarrassed. But,
it's
but
good
you weren't.
That you weren't.
That's good.
Yeah.
I never had that. Yeah. No, I didn't. It never registered.
I got one kid pulled my pants down in front of a kid I had a crush on at play practice and I had a big old pad on. That was the only embarrassing thing.
I mean, that's
thing.
Sexual
oh,
assault.
God. That's
yeah.
for sure assault.
Yeah. It was just so thick, man. Oh. And the wings were like the size of my underwear. It was so bad.
It's the worst.
They're like stuck to my leg. Anyway,
oh,
that was the only
like,
embarrassing thing I period related I've ever really had, I think.
That's like one of my favorite stories my mom ever told me about her getting her period because she's the oldest of three girls. And I remember like the first time she got her period, she said that my grandma sent her out and like watched her walk down the block and then called her back because she was walking so weird because the pad was so big.
Oh my God.
So she like called her back.
It's like a seat cushion now.
She was like, Diane, you can't walk.
She's walking like
Diane,
like this.
Just
you're
like, not a penguin.
Waddling.
She's waddling down the street.
Oh, Diane.
Oh, my God.
I love that story. It's so sweet. But
that is sweet.
It's these little things that I think people don't realize, like, young women have to go through.
Yeah, it really sucks. And when every gender it feels weird at that age anyway.
Yeah.
And then you got to go through the bleeding.
Yeah.
I went straight
and then you get
to
tampons.
Like shit.
Oh, wow. Good
I
for
never,
you.
I went straight to tampons. I practiced that shit before I ever got my period. I was like,
did
I'm
it feel
not
good or
wearing
or
a
was
fucking
it truly
pad.
Like,
you know, no, it was like, really very technical. I was reading the directions. I was just making sure that I had my bases covered.
See, I didn't know. I'm like, how the fuck am I going to find this hole?
Yeah.
What, you seem very adult.
Around?
Have you like always been very adult because you're the oldest child, or
wise soul?
I think it kind of forced me a little bit to be like more adult than my sister. Like I was kind of like on my own because my parents, they were constantly procreating. Okay, because they were trying to fix the marriage, so it was like they were just like making babies to save their lives, and I was very much like a babysitter. You know what I mean?
Yeah. How was the age difference between you and your next youngest?
Not that much. It was like not even 2 years.
Okay. But when you're a kid, that's a lot of years, you know?
Yeah. I was like, I thought I was older than her. But it was also like, I was so excited that she was like going to be born. I was so excited.
Aww.
And she kind of ended up a little bit lame. Like, I love her so much.
Your sister?
Yeah. I love her so
much.
Hope
she's not listening to this.
She probably isn't.
Is she the one that I met or no?
No. That's Mary Stewart, who is obsessed with me.
How old is she? She's a lot younger.
She's
that's so
like
cute.
She's 6 years younger.
Oh, okay. Okay.
She's on my aww. Instagram a lot. And like all Mary of her friends are my OnlyFans. And it's hilarious because like she's at her college reunion this weekend and she's like, everybody's coming up to me being like, I follow your sister on Instagram.
Aww.
And I'm like, I don't even know how these people, I think because she's constantly Instagramming about me where she's like, I love you, Rosebud. And I'm like, please leave me alone. Like it's really
go away.
She'll hug me. I'm like, please don't hug me. You're embarrassing me. And she's like, we're alone in your apartment. And
she moved next door to you, didn't she? That's
she moved
the
whoa, she is obsessed with you. Next door to me. She's 100. I'm like, can you be single white female by your own sister?
You can, I guess.
Because she's
watch
fully,
out.
Yeah.
Good thing you got dogs, though.
I know, honestly.
Why do you think she specifically is so obsessed with you?
I don't know.
Because you're cool as shit, dude.
She's, but I'm like, we have such different lives. Like, she's like, she like works in the art world. She's very like classy. And I
like art gallery world.
Art gallery world. You know what I mean? She dresses impeccably. She dresses so well.
Maybe then there's a part of you that she looks at and you're like, oh, free spirit. You just kind of go whatever direction you want.
She wants to care less, Rose, but
yeah,
I think is what
yeah,
we're
much,
trying to tell you.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe
how can
she
I
does.
Care less like Rosebud?
Yeah, how did
but in
how
good
can I just
way,
let my life fall apart?
How can I just put on anything and walk out the door?
I just want to sit here and let life happen to me.
But I also that's so true and sad. That is
well,
just a sad
you,
truth.
You had a sister pass away.
I did.
And that, how long ago was that?
That was
I don't
like,
know much about this.
Almost
you and
15
I, I've never
years
talked to you
ago.
About
okay. Almost 15 years ago. She was a twin. So my youngest sister is 10 years younger than me. And there were twins. So we had twins that were 10 years younger than us, Jackie and Graham. And it was actually at a high school party. Like a high school graduation party for a friend of mine, right? So like we were all graduating and he invited my whole family. And I ended up fucking this guy, by the way, like years later.
Oh, I was like that night?
Yeah, I was like, ooh.
No, like years later, but it was still very fucked up. Like it was like a very fucked up, you know, kind of like psychologically fucked up time.
Ooh, okay.
Because literally Graham died like 3 days before my high school graduation.
Fuck.
She was caught in the drain of a hot tub.
Her hair got caught.
And she it took like it couldn't three grown men couldn't pull her.
Oh my goodness.
From the, yeah.
Yeah.
And it was like it was just wild. It was like I, in a lot of ways I felt responsible. Like it was my fault that my family was like invited.
Cause and you
I was
felt
like,
cause it was your friend.
Yeah. It was my friend. It was my high school graduation. I changed her into her swimsuit.
Oh,
you know
fuck.
What I mean? Like for years I was like, I felt, really responsible for that.
Because how could you take a tragic moment like that and just go, well, it happens.
How could
a brain even do that?
Well, like your brain does do that, but your body and your subconscious says something different.
Oh.
So it's like you don't think that you're blaming yourself, but the way that you're living suggests that you're blaming yourself.
Oh,
you know
fuck.
What I'm saying? So I would look at the way that my life was going and the way that I would attach myself to men who needed to be saved, or like, or I would, you know, for years I was the one who needed saving. And then I would, and then after I got sober, I was attached to men who needed to be saved. And I was like trying to save their lives to try in a way to save my sister.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. It makes a lot of sense.
So it was like, I mean, I'm like 6 years into therapy now. So, you know, hi, Peter, if you're listening. Love my therapist.
Fucking love therapy.
So much.
Oh, so you've seen the same therapist for 6 years.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Cause then you could dive in deep.
Yeah.
He's into your issues.
He's
like,
fantastic. And I've saw therapists before that. You know, I saw my mom had me in therapy when I was like fucking 8 years old.
Oh, why?
Weight stuff.
Okay.
You know, like I don't really know actually. I had trouble in school. I hated school.
Mm.
So like I remember I threw a rock at my kindergarten window, broke the window.
Shit.
But it was because this guy, we were playing Kissy Girls and this guy.
Kissy Girls?
Yeah. This guy was like, I'll kiss you if you throw a rock through the window. And I was like, no problem.
Was that kiss?
Never fucking kissed me. Still upset about it.
Oh,
Matthew Silver, if you're listening, I just want you to know that I remember and your name is on a list. just so you know. Anyway, so yeah, it was like horrible. And 3 days later, I'm graduating like high school.
Did you walk?
I walked.
Oh, wow.
So, but like your family all be like, how do you,
what happens that?
But it's almost like, that's my question. Like those moments, it's almost like, how do you function? Like, how do you like leave a party?
How do you go in a car after that? How do you go to the bathroom or put on a clothes?
Well, it was like, there were two parties that day, right? That I had to go to. So I went to that first one and then I left. And my sister died after I'd left.
Oh, fucking okay. Shit.
So I was at this other party.
Fuck.
My other two sisters were in the hot tub with her.
Phew.
And I heard at this other party, like, that something had happened to my sisters and I needed to go home. And I knew, like, immediately. I was like, I knew someone had died. Like,
whoa.
I just knew it. And I was, like, speeding home in my car. I had my sister Hallie with me. We're speeding home. She's like, stop speeding. I was like, she's fucking dead. I know it. Like, I was like screaming.
Right. Wow.
And we got there and I remember hearing the news. You know, like I walked into the kitchen. My mom had like a funeral in her eyes. Like it was insane.
Yeah.
And I heard my sister died and it's like getting kicked in the chest. That's what it feels like.
I mean,
like.
No one ever would expect to hear a sentence uttered to them of that nature.
Yeah, and
ever.
It's, you just get doubled over. You just double over. And I remember after that was seeing my little sister, Mary Stewart, screaming in pain and in grief.
Mm-hmm.
And then crawling. I remember crawling from the kitchen out the front hallway to my car looking for cigarettes. Like that was the first thing I could do. As I was like looking for cigarettes. And I remember thinking, I'm going to be so fucked up. Like just being like, I'm going to be fucked up for the rest of my life. And it was weird that was my first thought, but I was just like, yeah, it was like a thing went off in my brain, which I now am like, I'm realizing was alcoholism, but like, I was just like, well, all it's off to the fucking races.
It.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause I was going to say, I know that you struggled with alcoholism, but that was not an issue before this happened.
Did sister dying trigger that or?
I was already on this path where I noticed my first priority was to get fucked up. Like I liked getting fucked up. You know what I mean? And I remember specifically with Graham, her asking me to take her to 7-Eleven. And I remember being like, no, I can't. I got to go to my friend's house. I'm going to like, you know, I was like going to get fucked up, you know, like at that point I was smoking a lot of weed. I was like trying not to drink because, you know, my mom's an alcoholic and I knew about it.
Okay.
So
it's very hereditary, right?
It is hereditary. My grandmother died of alcoholism.
Oh, wow.
She was like drunk, passed out on a couch, lit the couch on fire.
Oh my gosh.
With a cigarette.
Wow.
And died, you know. So it's like, and it's, my whole family's like riddled with alcoholism, drug addiction. So, you know, I just like, I fucking, after that, I went to college like 6 months later and I just fucking lost it. Like I just went nuts. You know,
drank
what I mean?
All the time.
Did drank it feel all the time.
Better or worse to leave the environment that I am guessing was really somber after
it
your
felt
sister?
So much better.
Yeah.
It felt, I honestly, like, I couldn't stand my family bringing her up. I couldn't stand, like,
reminders.
even like happy memories. I remember they'd be in the car and they'd be like, remember when Graham would, and I'd be like, oh, Graham, Jesus, can we move past it?
Right.
Like, I was like in this like state of mind where I was like, all right, she's dead. We get it.
Right.
Like, I was
very comedian
really,
before being a comedian.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
you know
that's how comics deal with tragedy. I mean, that's, yeah.
And
it does help, though. It does help to joke. I mean,
it was
when you're ready.
I wasn't like, it was wild. Like, I just had that comedian mindset. I just didn't know how to make jokes yet.
Right.
You know, so I was like,
interesting. Yeah.
You know, I'd be making jokes about my sister dying or like my, you know, my anorexia.
Uh-huh.
Or like whatever. I remember coming home from college after graduating, because by the end of college, my family came to see me and they looked at my body and they started crying. Like I was I'd lost
really
so much
thin.
Weight. And I remember coming home for Thanksgiving and being like, wow, feels good to eat again. And my whole family just crickets.
Oh, damn it.
And I was like, too soon? Is that too soon?
Well, they had to suffer the unimaginable loss of one child and they didn't want number two.
Yeah. And I think
maybe
like,
that's what they were thinking.
I think it was just like, you know, I was just trying to fucking make people laugh and, you know,
yeah.
They were like, and I still to this day, like on, you know, when I do comedy, I talk about like exes that tried to hit me. I talk about like the uncomfortable shit on stage. And, you know,
that's life.
And it's why I say like most of my comedy, like people who like my comedy have been abused.
Yeah.
Like it's like that's, they understand that there's like, it's funny to laugh.
But it's freeing to laugh at it too.
Yeah.
It's freeing.
I'm like, listen, I'm the one who fucking took one.
Exactly.
Like, let me laugh about this.
Yeah, you handle it the way you want to handle it.
Yeah. And it's like people get so tight.
Well, it's like their discomfort is selfish because it's usually people who have had these really nice lives who are like, no, you can't joke about it. It's like, no, that's the only thing you can do is joke about it.
No, it's the same thing when you can't laugh at like jokes about race, like you don't have any black friends.
Oh, exactly.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Like, because you don't even know who you're standing up for. You're just like, I can't laugh at this.
Or you're secretly afraid that you're racist yourself.
Right, exactly. And you know what? If you have no black friends, you might be.
Yeah, you might be.
Like you might be a little ignorant.
Somewhere else.
Yeah. Like, you might be a little ignorant.
You have black friends.
I do. Well,
you have a black boyfriend, Rosebud.
That is not a pat on the back, by the way.
Great
That's
job.
Not a Rosebud.
You are living MLK.
You swiped
when he talked
right.
About,
you swiped
he,
right.
He's looking down on you it going, was, yes, Rosebud.
It was, by the way, before Tinder, it was OKCupid days.
Oh, I loved OKCupid.
Mm. I loved reading the interviews. I just poured coffee all over myself. And this is why.
Well.
It doesn't matter how I dress because it's going to end up covered
You're a man
in food.
Repeller for sure.
I think I have
not
coffee.
A coffee repeller.
I think I have coffee on my eyelid.
Do you want to do you want a paper towel?
No, I'm good.
Are you sure?
Yeah, just okay. I'll leave it.
Okay.
Can that be the name of your first album?
I'll leave it. Yeah, so what was I saying?
Well, we were talking about laughing at tragedy.
We were applauding your black boyfriend.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Oh, God.
Well, I remember when you guys went on vacation, the whole comedy community remembers it because I was just stalking your Instagram and I was like, please make a goddamn calendar. You both are so beautiful and so charismatic
we
with each
really
other.
We were really hoping for a sex video.
Everyone was masturbating secretly
honestly,
to your vacation photos, you and Seton.
One day we will release the tapes.
Please. Have you recorded yourself having sex?
Of course, yeah. For sure.
I haven't. Have you, Corinne?
No, but I don't look like Rosebud. Oh. So.
I mean, honestly.
Nor do I have a very smoking hot black boyfriend.
Yeah.
There's no need. You
yeah,
know,
your
no one...
sex tape would go. I would buy it. I hope you're not weirded out by that, but I would.
No. Absolutely. I honestly would buy it myself. It's a great tape.
I buy it every night when we fuck.
I love recording myself having sex. I think it's like cool. One of the greatest things.
Why? What do you love about it? I want to.
What do you do with the footage though?
On a hard drive.
I just give it to him and hope for the best. Oh. I never watch it again. I really don't.
Do you watch it once or do you just love knowing you're being recorded?
I'll watch it like right after the sex just nice. To be like instant replay. But yeah. I don't watch it after that. Like it's really more for, I enjoy. I think in another life, I must have been a prostitute or like I
you really
like
love
some
sex.
Kind of sexual performer, you know?
Okay. And yeah. Whose idea was it to tape at your scenes initially?
Mine.
Okay. And then he was like, okay. Did
honestly,
he have any hesitations?
If I can't come, I'm like, please get the camera. Like,
whoa, interesting. So it's like a kink, okay. Like a fetish-y kind of
yeah.
thing.
Yeah. Like it's like a fetish. Of mine.
Have you had sex in public?
Yeah, actually I have. I'm trying to think of the last time. Oh, yeah, for sure. Okay.
At the
I
beach?
I just remembered we had sex in the Lego movie. Actually, no, it was Frozen. We were at Frozen.
Wow, good thing you get caught. That's
it was like
his movie.
It was like 2 p.m.
Okay.
And then and the theater was basically empty. There were like two people in the very front. And I think we were like, this sucks. Like they're singing. We weren't expecting singing. Like fuck this. And then
I mean, they don't. It's not a secret that they're gonna sing Rosebud.
Yeah, we didn't know.
I think the previews were all let it go.
Let it go. We didn't know how much singing there was gonna be. I was like, this is so uncomfortable. Like I don't like it. And I think I don't remember exactly how it started, but I ended up on my hands and knees and he was
doggy style fucked.
He just doggy style fucked me on the floor.
Frozen screening?
Yeah, in the middle of Frozen.
This is impressive.
That is impressive. Those must have been some wide aisles.
Yeah, I've never had full on sex in a movie. That's very difficult. Certainly given
blown
like
a lot. Given a lot of blowies.
Hand jobs
fingers,
kind of thing during Shrek. Yeah.
Jackhammer fingers.
No, we just went all out. We just went for it.
Good for you. Yeah. I mean, go big or go home.
Here's the crazy part though. Okay, so this was like right when we started dating, obviously, because this is like the kind of shit you do.
Yeah, and, adventurous stuff.
And like, I guess like the people, all right. So we went to Frozen at 2 p.m. at like—
Which is a weird choice to begin with.
Which is a weird choice. Yeah, but quirky. You know, you
don't— They're both comics.
You don't care what you're
doing. I was
going
to say, it's a quirky comic choice. I'm like, yeah, fuck it, let's do this.
Yeah, so, and then he had the comic strip at like 8 p.m. He had a spot. So we go, we're like just walking around, hanging out. We're on the Upper West Side. You know that big theater with like the leather seats and it's like really nice. So there were wide aisles.
Very wide.
You know, yeah, you got that right. And plenty of space.
Yeah.
And then, you know, fucking 4 hours, 6 hours later, we're at the comic strip and he starts talking about how we fucked
and
at
froze.
The theater.
Yeah.
All of a sudden—
Were you doing comedy? You were doing comedy, right?
I was doing comedy, but I was like an open micer.
Okay.
And this guy goes, that was you in the audience.
No.
So the only two other people.
What are the chances?
The only two other people at that fucking theater saw us fucking in the aisle as they were going to the bathroom. So like somebody was going to the bathroom and came back and told the other one. And then the other one came back to see. And we were, and he's like, yeah, that's my girlfriend over there. And I'm like, yep, hi, how's it going?
Wow. Was that the first time he called you his girlfriend or no?
No, he called me his girl. I mean.
I always love those moments with couples because it's usually like someone's hitting on you and the guy's always like, hey, it's my girlfriend.
You know
and
what?
Like,
I don't
wait,
even,
really?
I don't even remember if he ever called me his girlfriend. I don't think we ever had that conversation moment.
Yeah.
He just moved in. Like that was.
He did?
How soon did he move in?
I think he moved in like 3 months later.
What? And you've been together how long so far?
4 years.
4 years.
Yeah, we just hit 4 years.
And how'd you meet at a show?
We met on OKCupid.
Oh, you did meet on OKCupid. You're both comics. That's awesome.
And I blew him off for like a month. And then I was like really sick of dating. I was just tired and I really wanted to die alone. I really did. I was like really happy being alone. And when guys, I had a rule where like if guys came over, they had to leave.
Yeah.
Like I was like, we can fuck, but you gotta leave. You can't sleep here.
Yeah.
And it was going very well, by the way. Yeah.
That's a fun rule. I've done that.
If you're having trouble finding someone to fall in love with you, just tell a guy
tell
to leave after you fuck. And all of a sudden they will make you up in their minds and they'll be like, you're my girl.
Yeah.
Like they'll make you up. And it's not a great way to actually connect and find your soulmate. But if you want someone to fucking
so far,
fall in love with
just
you,
stalk the shit out of you. Yeah.
They will.
That's why I get so many stalkers, because I'm so mean to people, I think.
Yeah.
And I'm so
nice. Zero stalkers.
Yeah.
I would have probably accidentally given my address away 8 times by now.
Yeah.
Those fucking idiots.
It's crazy.
Go for the mean people.
I mean, guys just, I asked Mara Merrick how she's had 7 people propose to her. Yeah. And she goes, I just don't talk.
Yeah, that's, yes.
I was like, that is literally just kill me. Kill me right now. I'm like, it's been 4 years. I haven't had a proposal.
Yeah.
What, do I just stop talking now?
Do you want one?
I want one so bad.
That's why really? I love you, Rosebud, because she's very open about how much she wants
good.
To get married.
Oh, let's talk about this.
So what do you like about it? What do
I would suck someone else's dick to get married to Seton.
Whoa.
I would.
That's probably not necessary.
If that's
though.
What he told me it took, I would do it. You know what I mean? I'd be like, I
and
that's
what
how
about
desperate.
It to you? What do you?
First of all, I really need health insurance. Like, it's not
okay.
even a joke.
Fair,
kidding. Like, I really need it. He's got it.
Honestly,
like,
that's why
that.
I'm like, Steven, let's just get married. He'd be on my health insurance plan. It's fine.
I'm constantly scared of getting breast cancer. I'm just like, just marry me.
Why
you know
specifically?
I mean?
Is that run in your family?
It runs in my family.
Okay.
But like, also, I just want to like go to the dermatologist a lot. I'm like really obsessed with that.
Yeah.
Anyway, I've been wanting to get married to him specifically.
That's like, good.
I wasn't crazy about getting married before that. I wasn't like, you know, it's not like just anybody, but
right.
I want to marry him because he's so good at just leaving me alone.
That's beautiful. Well, that is a very important quality. When someone knows when to give you space and how much space to give you,
yeah.
and you can't write that down on a piece of paper for someone,
yeah.
it has to be natural. And yeah. that is rare.
I mean, I just feel like I have so much freedom in my relationship to expand and create friendships and create my own life and like do what I want. You know what I mean? Like,
wow, that's awesome.
I mean, and he's happy for me. Like, he's the first guy that I've ever dated or been with that is genuinely, every time something good happens for me, he's excited.
That's
you know
so
what I mean?
Cool.
He'll be the first person to be like, oh my God, you're doing, that's amazing. Like, it's like, and he really wants to see me do well. And honestly, I have like no doubt in my mind that he just, like, sometimes I think people would take someone who's like aloof and like be like, oh, he doesn't like love me or whatever. I'm like, no, he loves me enough to like leave me alone.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And like that is 100% all I've ever wanted. It's just like a guy who wants me to, he's like, I'll be with you as long as you keep growing. And I'm like, that is,
God damn.
That's why I'm desperate to get married to him.
Of course. Yeah, no shit.
You
I hear
I mean?
You.
I'm
yeah.
like, please, if it's not you, I'm just going to fucking turn it in.
Yeah.
Like,
I don't
care.
Well,
yeah.
what's the weight on his end?
I'm sure at this point, I know for a while it was like, you know, family stuff. Like his parents didn't get, I don't want to like give up information about him because he's private, but like, you know, they weren't ever married, his parents.
Okay.
And,
so that makes sense.
You know, and I think it's just like, you know, but I don't think he's against it. I think honestly, and lately I've been like, I feel like it's going to happen soon. I don't know.
How old is he?
Like,
is that a secret?
He's 30. How old is he? 35? 35.
And you're 30.
30 something.
Something. You're around my age. I know.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
And so, can
you
I
look
ask,
great. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. Being in a relationship where one person's white and the other person's black.
Yeah.
What do you get any? Does anything happen? Do you get shit from anybody or no?
Oh, no.
Oh, awesome. No. Oh, good.
But you have
good.
The joke about your dad finding out that scene.
Yeah,
was
that
black.
Was like, that's 100% like fabricated.
Okay.
The stereotypical, like the hacky, like the white girl's dad finding out. Like,
yeah,
that's,
yeah.
That's
like it was based off of that. And it was like, I was like, okay, well, you know, he did ask me, does your dad know I'm black? You know, which is like, I didn't expect that question.
Uh-huh.
And I did like say to him, why, what am I going to ruin this? Like I did say to him, like, no, I'm not going to tell him that. It's going to be a surprise.
And what did Seton,
of
how
course
did he...
my dad knew he was black.
Oh,
like,
okay.
Yeah. But it's not like I think my dad had seen pictures or whatever. I wasn't like, dad, now listen.
Right.
I'm bringing a black man. It wasn't like a, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Cause your dad's not a racist.
Yeah. And my cousin has, kids that are half black, half white, mm-hmm. you know, it's like, you know, this is,
oh, I have a good friend, family friend who's her husband, she's white and her husband's black, but there's been people in other, just not in their lives that they care about that say shit. And I'm like, what? Why do you care? It's not your life. It's
I just
hers.
I just feel like it's like, There are so many interracial couples now.
I know. Yeah.
That I just assume that you're an interracial couple.
Yeah, yeah.
Honestly.
That makes me so happy to hear. I was hoping, because I wanted to ask you that question, I was really hoping that.
Yeah, yeah.
It was like, no one gives a shit. Like,
Nobody cares.
God.
Nobody cares. And if they do, I don't care.
Well, we did a live, oh God, I'll never forget this. Corinne and I did a live show in, I forget what city it was in, but do you remember this guy, hot black guy, came up on stage because we did the advice. We did like a serious sit down advice. Like, who has a serious problem? We're not going to joke about it. We want to like try and dive
wasn't
into
that
it.
In Phoenix? Actually,
no, it wasn't, because I remember I don't know, but it was a black guy, and he's like, my wife is white, and you know, when I first met her parents, it was under the they were under the impression that we were just friends, and they were so kind to me, and we had dinner at their house, and it was great. And then a couple months later, they said we're dating, and then when we got engaged, she told them, and they had a yard sale and sold all of her things, and my friends came to the yard sale to buy her shit from her parents, who are racist pieces of shit and didn't want, like, they wouldn't, they disowned her, their daughter because she was dating a black man. I'm like, wow. What?
I didn't know that. And I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah, I mean, it definitely, dude, people are racist.
It definitely
so racist.
It's out there for sure.
It is.
Like, when I say, oh,
not
yeah.
Not New York as much, but right. Yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely out there. And for sure, if there's anything that, like, this political climate has taught me, it's like, oh, everything that I thought was, like, you know.
Gone.
Yeah, it's like alive and well.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Nobody has any.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's not. It's like not even an issue at all. Thank God.
Yeah.
Thank God.
Yeah, because that's such an unnet. Like, shit, that's so. Go get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
You know.
I don't want kids, though. I don't. I have no interest in that.
Yeah. Does he?
I don't know.
I love how you've been together for 4 years and
you
never
really like someone to leave you alone.
No,
wow.
No. It's not that. It's just like, I think we both have vacillating opinions. Is that oscillating? What is the?
I don't know.
I would say you probably mean oscillating, because like a fan oscillates.
Like an oscillating fan, like a.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's like our opinion
changes. Yeah,
and it's you know, it's like one day we'll see an Instagram post and be like, oh, it'd be nice to have a kid, but then the right. next day, I know for a fact that if I had a kid, comedy would take a backseat. Like, it's not, I'm too fucking tired to have a child and pursue yeah. comedy.
Sure, of course.
And two dogs.
I'm like, too tired yeah, yeah. to have two dogs.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so I know that my comedy would take the backseat, and he'd be on the road, and I'd be so fucking resentful.
Yeah, it sounds mm-hmm. like a nightmare.
You know what I mean? So, yeah. I know that about myself. So unless my
Smart.
Career is fucking just skyrocketing, I have no interest.
Yeah.
And besides, I grew up like doing that. You know what I mean? Like,
you were a mom already, kind of. Yeah.
Yeah. And then I was a nanny.
That's a good point. Yeah.
For a while. And I'm like, I just don't have any interest.
Why is it always the fucking woman that takes care of the kid? Is it just because she can breastfeed it? I mean, is that why? Is that why it's always assumed that the woman is the one and the guy's on the road?
I think,
I mean,
it's,
I know,
honestly,
pregnancy takes
I think
a
biologically,
second to-
you have to. Like, I think you, I don't think your body,
like your instincts.
You, yeah. To like, yeah. just leave a kid.
Right. But like, why, you know, I know that there are stay-at-home dads, but why? I don't know. You don't really
Cindy
hear much.
Cindy Lauper's husband is a stay-at-home dad. That's why she's one of my favorites. I mean, my dream truly is like, I would
husband.
Actually have a kid at this point if I could convince someone to give up on their dreams.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm totally fine paying for everything and going out and working. And if I just like come home and like there's a hot meal waiting for me
right.
and the house is clean. That I truly sounds amazing.
That honestly, it does sound
yeah, it
pretty
sounds
great.
Good.
Because it is. It is too much.
And that's
much.
Why men wanted to, because that's the role that women played forever though. And I think it's interesting though that like men loved that deal, I feel like, back in the day.
But like, you do need
it,
like you do need, like when you're as an adult, like I need someone to help me to
yeah.
clean like my apartment, and like, because right now like my like day-to-day life is in shambles. Like my career going great, but like truly I feel my house is a mess. I feel like
yeah.
I'm constantly like not being as good of a dog mom as I want to be, even though I'm like doing a great job. I feel like sometimes like I fell asleep one night without feeding Alfred, and like he didn't give a shit because dogs don't have any concept of time, but like it made me want to cry. Like I was
yeah.
like, I cried
yeah, yeah, yeah
because I was like, I'm such a bad mom, even
yeah,
though
yeah.
I'm not at all
yeah.
and like he didn't give a shit. And if he was really hungry, he would have pawed me in the face and told me.
Yeah.
But it's just this constant stress. So like when James helps me, it feels so much better.
By the way, you get over that whole like dog mom guilt. That's like the first,
man, even
first
dog
year that you have a dog, like you're like, I'm a fucking terrible dog mom. But then you're like, you think about it and you're like, well, you would have been fucking way worse off with somebody else, you know?
Yeah.
Like I think about it with Bama and I'm like, first of all, she's such a fucking maniac. Anybody else would have put her down. You know what I mean?
I know. Oh. Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm like, you're lucky to be alive, bitch. You know what I mean? And she's my best friend.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
here's a question for both of you, because you both have, your boyfriend doesn't live with you, but lives close.
Mm-hmm.
How do you fuck with dogs in the house? Because when we were babysitting Alfred, there was no chance.
Oh my God.
Well, I told you, you just have to close the door.
We did, but then the crying, and I felt you feel too bad.
Yeah, of course. He'll stop crying. I mean, I told you, I was like, because like, you know, it's
but
like,
then the neighbor,
he's in a new environment.
I mean,
what about the neighbor?
Like it was loud. I didn't want him to, I don't know.
Oh, if he's downstairs, I don't think they're going to hear the crying downstairs.
I just wanted to see if we could do it.
Yeah. I mean,
because we were considering getting a dog. That's why I'm so glad I got to watch Alfred. But man, yeah.
Alfred's also still a baby.
Yeah.
I mean,
and he's so cute.
If you get an older dog, they're not going to give a shit about that. Alfred is also like, has a lot of personality. I've never had a dog that was like a person. So human.
He looks at you and you know what he's saying.
I feel like it's, you have to do fuck training. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Right? Which sounds disgusting. You're not fucking the dog. But like you have to.
Some people got real bums.
Like we always go into the bedroom, right? We close the door. And the dogs just like go away. You know what I mean?
And you also have two dogs, so they can keep each other company.
Keep each other company. But we did, I will say this, okay? There's a command that both my dogs know. It's go to your place, right? And if I say go to your place, they go to their beds. There's two separate beds. And so we tried fucking on the couch last week. And we were like fucking while watching Stranger Things, right?
Whoa. It was
real casual fuck.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And,
and fuck.
And Seton's like literally right about to come. And Charlie comes over and starts like pawing.
Yeah.
And I hear Seton go to your place. And it was like the funniest
mid-fuck thing
I've ever.
Go to your place, dog.
Okay, go to your place.
Go to your place. Please, please, for the love of God, go to your place.
I was dying laughing.
I'm trying to go to my place. You go to yours,
asshole.
I was
like, I know I can't laugh right now because he's like about to come, but I'm like holding it in. You know what I mean? Because we're fucking doggy style, so he can't see me. And the tears are like, I'm just like, I'm crying laughing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I cannot. I couldn't even keep it. It was so fucking funny. Go to your place.
I love that. Oh my gosh. I mean, yeah, we've even fucked like with Alfred in the room and just like literally swatting him away.
Yeah.
Because he's
I would
little.
Imagine it has to get to that point eventually.
So yeah, we just do whatever. I mean, it doesn't really, I don't know. You get just like anything. You just figure it out. How did you fuck? I mean, I've always find a way to fuck. That's one thing
find a way.
Yeah. Even when I had a roommate in college in the same room, I would just find a way to fuck with her in the room. I'm like, you're not leaving. So
I'm fucking.
I'm putting up a curtain and this is happening.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I'm sorry. I don't know what to do.
Well, it's a basic human need. Okay. It's like eating.
It is.
You like just you figure it out. All right. And so I think we got to wrap up in a second, but I wanted to come full circle. Like what made you finally decide to like go to therapy as an adult? Cause you said you've been in therapy for 6 years, alcoholism. Like you're very together. You're a person that I feel like your friends go to you when they need some good life advice.
That's so true. Yeah.
You're always vaping. You're like a very fancy Cruella de Vil.
Like a blonde Cruella de Vil.
I feel like, Rosebud's like a Cruella de Vil.
I'm a very fancy Cruella. I love that. I started going to therapy because I was with a guy who was such a bad alcoholic that and he was really abusive. He would
physically,
emotionally, verbally, the worst person I've ever been with in my life, and I couldn't get out of it. You know why I couldn't get out of it though? Was because I wanted so badly. I was terrified that he was going to relapse. And I was like, this is
saving him.
It does. Yeah. I was trying to save him and it didn't have to do with love. It wasn't like, it was pure codependency.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, I'm 100% going to just like go to therapy throughout this so that even if this relationship doesn't work out, I'm going to be with this guy. Like, I'm going to be doing it consciously. You know what I mean?
Wow.
Like, even if my life is totally fucked up, I have to be conscious about it. I have to, because I don't think there's anything wrong with making unhealthy decisions as long as you know why you're doing it.
Self-aware, and then you learn, and that's how you become a better person.
And slowly, yeah, I remember him getting back from the hospital, having like seizures on my floor.
Oh my gosh, shit.
And calling a friend and being like, I have a therapy appointment in an hour. Please come watch him. And going
Holy
to therapy.
Holy shit.
And being like, and screaming and being like, just like sobbing. And it was like, you know, really trying to like get my shit together.
Did therapy help you get out of that relationship?
Honestly, what helped me get out of it was that he actually hit me. And I was like,
oh shit,
I'm gonna,
that was the only time he did it?
No, it had happened before.
Okay.
But you know, I did the thing where, well, I hit him first. Like, I slapped him and then he slapped me back and my head hit the wall and I was like, bleeding. And I was like, well, you know, he hit back. So, you know, I was like, that doesn't really count, which by the way, it does. And if you have to hit a person or you feel that you have to, you need to get the fuck out. But
right, like, no one should be hitting anyone in a relationship.
Right.
Or ever.
Right.
Really.
Yeah.
Just unless it's in self-defense.
Right.
Unless you're a boxer.
Yeah.
In a ring.
And it was, and then the night that it happened where he really went off was, I was just like, I'm out of here. I'm done.
Wow. And how long were you in that relationship?
I was in that relationship for 2 years. He was in that relationship for a year. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Because I was like his nurse for the first year.
Yeah.
And I thought that counted.
Yeah.
But that's a different kind of relationship.
Understandable.
Sure.
Yeah.
But that's why therapy is so important. It's such an important tool of self-reflection of like, and getting you to come to your own conclusions.
If you get your self-esteem from like helping other people in their lives, you might want to like take a look at, first of all, read my favorite book in the world, Codependent No More, which will change your fucking life. And it just teaches you about like why you need that. You know what I mean? And like when I left him, I didn't even know what I liked. I didn't know where I got my self-esteem. I didn't know what I liked to do. It's like how I got into comedy.
Shit, I gotta read that book.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Mm. It's really good.
That's one I don't need to read.
You're good. No.
Where can
Sometimes
we find
I
you?
Worry that I don't care enough.
Where can we find you online?
You can find me on Instagram at Rosebud Baker and on Twitter at Rosebud Baker. And if I may, I would love
whatever
to plug.
You want, girl.
I'm headlining Caroline's on Broadway on December 12th.
Mm. Awesome.
7 o'clock. Or 7:30. 7:30.
One of those times. Look on the website.
Look on the website. Tickets are available with promo code Rosebud. Discount tickets. So please come to that. It's going to be so fun.
Wait, is that the one that I'm opening for you?
I don't know. Are you?
Yeah.
Because I asked you to.
Yeah, we're not going to Australia.
Yes. All right. And
we are in the future, guys.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
Don't worry. Oh, that makes me so happy. So Corinne's going to be there too.
I was like, wait, is that...
Corinne, Mike Cannon, and Rob Hayes.
That's awesome.
Nice. Yeah.
It's going to be great.
December 12th.
And I Perfect. Hope you're dressed like a Tin Man like you are now.
Except you have a Tin Man hat, too.
I'm dressed sort of Tin Man, sort of Sister Wife. We'll see.
Yes.
Yeah.
I love this. Well, thank you so much, Rosebud, for sitting down and talking to us. This has been Guys We Fucked, the Anti-Slut Shaming Podcast. We'll talk to you next Friday. Are we doomed to fight our fate? Is there nothing we can say or do to be heard? Never learn to shut my mouth when I think you're crazy not to have your doubts. March and seek a fire down this way. There's no need to point out all your mistakes. It's all part of somebody's divine plan. Or did chaos use a sly hand? Get best.
imagining something more from this. Marching sick of down this way. There's no need to point out our mistakes. It's all part of somebody's divine plan. Or did chaos use a sly hand?
Shopping is a drag, but what if you could skip all the hassle and find a perfect fitting bra in minutes? Check out Third Love. Their Fit Finder quiz recommends the bra that's right for your size and shape. And now you could try one of their bras for free for 30 days. You just pay $2.99 for shipping. Go to thirdlove.com/GWF to find the perfect fitting bra for you and try it free for 30 days. thirdlove.com/GWF.